Hi, everybody. Good afternoon here from Finland. And we have reached part 8 in volume 1, section 1 of Discipleship in the New Age. This is a video commentary, and we are beginning on page 74. Now let's see if I can do this properly. Looks like it, yeah. And let's see if there's any kind of segue that I would like to lead in with. I guess by now you realize that this is a wonderful book, and that the Tibetan has expended no end of concern and difficulty preparing it for us, using his instrument at the time, Alice Bailey. And may I say that we don't know whether his amanuensis for the third installment will again be Alice Bailey. It seems that the rays change. And Madame Blavatsky, who was his first amanuensis, was found very much, I think, upon the first ray in her soul, though maybe the monad was the third. That's simply a speculation. Alice Bailey was definitely found on the second ray in her soul nature, and one suspects the monad to be two. Now, in the fourth coming installment, maybe the amanuensis, I think one will be needed, despite the fact that we have so much advanced in our ability to use electronics to make everything much easier than it was in the days of Alice Bailey. Maybe it will be the third ray in the monadic area. Now, for all of these people, I would say that these amanuenses have for their liberated monad either ray 2 or maybe ray 1, or excuse me, ray 3. The first ray monads, it seems to me, are not so likely to do this kind of work, which is basically receptive work for the Tibetan. And it requires a great deal of humility and making oneself available at certain times, whether the personality feels like being available or not. We don't know the exact method by which the Tibetan and Alice Bailey worked. Perhaps he was aware of when she was available. I think so. And perhaps had to conform his availability to hers. In any case, they did cooperate in this way for 30 years of work. You can only imagine that it got smoother as they went along. Now, if we were to maybe look at a little segue here, all the teaching on the groups of disciples, the Tibetan says, functioning in the new age, is intended for all the groups and for general distribution later on. Well, certainly, may I say, it's intended for the groups that Master DK gathered and was gathering. Now, we don't know to what extent this kind of teaching was intended for the four seed groups in India. We've learned about them, two in China, and some more subjective groups gathered around the Master Jesus. Maybe to a certain extent, the language would be an issue. But we certainly do realize that of the 10 groups which the Tibetan intended to gather, and some of which he actually did, all of the teaching is meant in part anyway for all of the groups. Now, the Tibetan goes on and says, the teaching upon specific group work will be given up to the point where conscious use of it can be made, and the knowledge given can be turned to practical purpose in world service. And may I suggest that the Tibetan will not give all. He has such voluminous knowledge and deep wisdom. He couldn't possibly give all and see his knowledge turned to practical purpose in world service. But some he could give. And of course, he examined his gatherees, the people that he attracted around Alice Bailey, and could determine what they could assimilate, what they could turn to practical purpose, how much of it they could apply in world service. I would say that to overload a student or a group of students can have unforeseen consequences, which would not necessarily be good. And then he closes with the statement, and my brothers, it is world service that today is needed. So let me say that we have to think of humanity at large, and not only of the near ones, that's kind of a Master Moria term, and not only of the near ones who may be in need. We have to think of humanity as a whole. Well, that would be quite an expansion of consciousness for many of us who are concerned with the more immediate foreground. But yes, that's what we have to do. Because, may I say, world service is still today much needed. When you look at the wars and the conflicts, just lately, of course, I don't know when you'll be viewing this, but the fundamentalistic Taliban group has just overrun Afghanistan. It is a huge battle, and will go on in various ways for a long time. And we know that the Christ cannot reappear until a certain measure of peace is achieved. Now, he is the one who determines what that measure might be. But the world presently is in a warring condition. And where the war is not an outright shooting war, it is a subtle war of cyber attacks and undermining of the one who is considered to be one's enemy. We are so far from Christ's idea that we are to love our enemy, and if we do love our enemy, what aspect of that enemy do we love? We have to find the inner human being and realize that the outer human being is simply a projection and an instrument. The way love is usually considered, it's very much for the outer person as expressed through the mind and the emotions especially, and the actions, the etheric physical vehicle. Can we really see the soul in another? And if we see that soul, register that soul, which is no small feat in itself, that act of contemplation opens the door to the love energy. So we cannot think we have arrived yet to be kind, to love our fellow human being, regardless of the resistance that that individual may send in our direction. Yes, in so many cases, the resistance will be there. But what do we do with that? Well, friends, we will find our way. And we have some 2,000 years in which to do it, because an age of wonder is approaching, and the gifts of Aquarius pouring forth bountifully will affect all of us. And hopefully, in a positive sense. Now, all right, that's my little segue. This is the 18th of August, and we're beginning with part 8. There's no way we're going to finish this today. It's 15 pages long, and probably will... Well, it will take a number of programs. Okay, Master DK says, the hierarchy is deeply concerned over world happenings, Okay. Something's missing here. I think it's the word when. But you can understand how in the early 30s, with their foresight, knowing that the Lodge of Darkness had gone underground in a way, had been beaten back a little, and was now fomenting another, even more dangerous opportunity to take over humanity and the world, or at least destroy human civilization. I'm always remembering Madame Rurik's statement about what she considered to be Satan, and how a great explosion was being engineered. Now that fits very well with what the Tibetan has predicted, and which he said must be avoided, and that these malevolent forces that we kind of summarize by calling them Satan wanted this explosion and to, as it were, float away on the wreck. That impressed me. And I think only later will we know of the very dangerous times through which we have lived. So, again, the hierarchy is deeply concerned over world happenings. May I say this? These are world happenings which could have led to the complete destruction of humanity and the necessity to begin the entire human experiment once again. I guess we could say that we disciples, projecting now into those earlier times, were not concerned enough. Otherwise, we would have mobilized ourselves to resist the enemy, which is a deep sense of hatred, division, and separateness. Now, Master DK goes on, when the war is over, our work, I assume, the work of hierarchy, our work must go forward at any and every cost and in the face of every imaginable obstacle. I guess we could say that Master DK is no dreamer, no fabled idealist who thinks that struggles are over. The struggle with the Black Lodge will continue until the Judgment Day. And that will occur millions of years ahead. As I say, I haven't really come to a determination about whether in the fifth round of our present chain that Judgment Day occurs, or in the fifth scheme round on within some scheme, even the Mercury scheme, the next one. However, I begin to think that the Judgment Day is related to our chain. And if I said the Mercury scheme, that's incorrect. It's the Mercury chain. That could be a possibility. Because the fifth scheme round is correlated with the fifth chain by numerical affinity. So DK, does he not? He feels this sense of urgency when he says, our work must go forward at any and every cost, and in the face of every imaginable obstacle. The war would end, we now know, but a complete clearing of glamour and of illusion would not yet occur, and still has not yet occurred. We find many people in a very narrow state of mind, and somehow living troublesome lives, troublesome to others, from that narrow state of mind and fanatical astralism, fanatical devotion. They are with us still. Millions and millions are with us in that way. And we really have to do something about that, because the division between the fanatics and those who have a more loving, inclusive point of view is a wide division and very costly in terms of the integrity of the human race. Sometimes you may look at a face of an individual and you just can't tell. Maybe they could be loving and inclusive. Maybe they are fanatics. Sometimes there's something there in the physiognomy or in the expression of the eyes which reveals on which side they stand. But the world today is populated largely by these fanatics. And they, so many of them, are not ready to make the transition, let's say, onto the second ray of love wisdom. That's where we, in our educational processes, come into the picture. Master DK says, the new group of world servers must preserve its integrity and work steadily and undismayed. What is dismay? It's a kind of disempowerment, confusion, facing something that we thought could not happen. But integrity, steadiness, and working in a manner undismayed, these are needed by those the steadiness of those who know God's plan, and by that I think we mean the higher initiates and masters, at least they know it in part. The steadiness, says DK, of those who know God's plan will help humanity and aid the efforts of the hierarchy. Well, he can also be referring to steadiness among the new group of world servers. It is not a calling for those who are unstable, working now and then, going from hill to valley, from approach to retreat. No, the new group of world servers is not yet the place where they will do their work. So it's the steadiness of those who know God's plan. It is that which, according to the Tibetan, will help humanity and aid in the efforts of the hierarchy. These do not hate, and they work for unity, both subjective and eventually objective. And let's just say that a demonstrated objective unity occurs after a subjective unity has been established. So that is one of our goals and objectives, that we work with steadiness within the new group of world servers, which, by the way, you know, it's not just easy to enter that particular state of cooperation. As I've said before, DK seems to indicate that having taken the second degree is really the requirement for even the beginning work within the new group of world servers. DK goes on here, it is wise for human beings to realize that mankind is free. Well, I remember reading long ago a book called Escape from Freedom. I think it was by Eric Fromm. I think the word Fromm means something like pure or righteous. And he was a psychiatrist, psychologist, sociologist. He certainly analyzed the condition within humanity following the Second World War. Escape from freedom. Sometimes when we look at those who are authoritarian in their nature and who want to be led, guided, directed, told what to do, we see those who are escaping from freedom because they do not want to take the responsibility upon themselves. Now, DK goes on and says, even the hierarchy itself does not know which forces, those of good or those of evil, will ultimately prevail, because even if the forces of good triumph where the war is concerned, will they triumph where the peace is concerned? It was always interesting to me that following the war, Winston Churchill was voted out of office. Here's a man who basically took a huge responsibility to save Western civilization. And he was brilliant, the leader, rhetorically, I must say, of England and of Europe. So many gained inspiration from him. But when it came time for the peace, he was judged by the many not to be the right man for the job. He did later seek re-election and achieve it. But of course, he never again reached the height which called upon his strongest virtues, as was the case during the war. Now, sometimes it seems to say hierarchy knows what will happen, but must not discuss it or reveal it. Maybe some of these ecological issues related partially to the taking of initiation by the planetary logos are and were known by hierarchy, but maybe what we're talking about here is how humanity will go, how they will respond to the forces of good or the forces of evil. So much really is in our hands. So if hierarchy does not know which way it will go, and may I say, I think the issue is still up in the air, though one has to be encouraged, seeing certain trends, then how is humanity to know? All we can do is work as tirelessly as possible for the good. And then DK gives a statement of confidence, we might say. Good must ultimately triumph, he says. But the hierarchy does not know what the immediate future holds for humanity, because men determine their own destiny. Now, for those of us who really wish it were different, we have to abide by that statement, men do determine their own destiny. And it's a little bit, shall we say, chilling, a little scary, when you see the short-sightedness with which certain human beings seem to work, and certainly the short-sightedness of the mass consciousness. DK goes on, the law of cause and effect cannot be offset. Shall we say it is invariable? As the Buddha said, it's inescapable, just as the back wheels of a wagon will follow the track of the front wheels. We're not going to avoid the consequences of what we do. And we are living out those consequences, the origins of which, in some cases, took place in far-off times. The Tibetan telling us, for instance, that in Atlantean days, we don't know whether early or middle or late, certain causes were set in motion, and they worked out as the Holocaust, the great slaughter, which preyed upon humanity during the Second World War. Going on with Master DK, in those cases where it has been offset, it has required the intervention of forces greater than those available at this time upon our planet. So first he says, in no uncertain terms, that it cannot And then there are always exceptions. Exceptions to the rule. And these greater forces can intervene if the world aspirants and disciples make their voices adequately penetrating. Now, we seem to have an ellipse there, so DK is saying something that has been extracted or removed, shall we say, from the book. Now, such an intervention would have been the intervention of the Lords of Liberation in the middle part of the Second World War, which basically saved human civilization so serious was the situation and turned the war around by deflecting the secrets of atomic energy from the demanding minds of the Axis powers, instead bestowing these secrets or making them more accessible to the Allied forces. It's interesting, isn't it? We're reading something from 90 years ago, and yet the relevance is definitely with us. When you hear of certain nations building hypersonic weaponry that can reach their so-called enemy in a matter of relatively few minutes, you know we are in danger. But what was said during the Cold War, and which kept that war from getting hot, was that humanity must not turn mad. And MAD was kind of an acronym for mutually assured destruction. Now, some of these possibilities still loom, even though Foster Bailey said in the early 50s, this was Alice after Alice had passed on, that the Tibetan had assured him there would be no atomic war. We still don't know. Now, maybe hierarchy's opinion has changed. And maybe at that time, in the quite early 30s, hierarchy did not know which forces of good, those of good or those of evil, would ultimately prevail. Okay, let's go on. Let's go on thinking of this concerning subject, or this subject which then had hierarchy very concerned over the fate of humanity, the kingdoms, and the planet, and which even now, I would think, would have them very concerned. DK says, in this time of stress and strain, my brothers, I would remind you that there is no need for the sense of futility or for the registration of littleness. And may I add, when the disciple is afflicted by that kind of impression, the usefulness of the disciple or the discipleship group is much curtailed. The attitude of confidence is needed. What man has done, man can do. The support of the hierarchy, the support of the Christ, must be deeply felt rather than give in to any kind of depression. But let me So question yourself, you know, do you feel futile? Do you feel too little to be of any consequence in the great reconditioning of human civilization? Or do you feel that confidence is justified? The Tibetan goes on, the new groups of disciples are seed groups. Okay, maybe a few times, right? He has mentioned their status as seed groups. He goes on to say, they are in the dark, or growing stage, and in the process of expansion, growing silently. So, may I say, that tells us pretty much where the seed groups were at the time in the early 30s when he was writing these things. He goes on to say this stage is most important for, according to the healthiness of the seed and its ability to cast strong roots downwards and to penetrate slowly and steadily upwards towards the light, so will be the adequacy of the contribution to the new age which is upon us. And going further, he says, I would emphasize that fact to you. Well, is he emphasizing that, I mean, all the things he said about the seed, or is he emphasizing that the new age is upon us? I think ever since the coming forth of Francis Bacon, the impulse which, under Aquarius and Uranus, started the new seventh ray age, that impulse has been driving forward. The Tibetan goes on, the new age is upon us, and we are witnessing the birth pangs of the new culture and the new civilization. Shall we say that culture is a more interior factor and has to do with the highest values of that particular initiative, which works out more externally as a new civilization. But when you go looking for the roots of the civilization, you have to look at the values, the cultural values of those who propagated this larger structure called a civilization. And may I say that as bad and distressing as general conditions have appeared, it's all part of a natural process. Of watching a new culture arise and a new civilization. We don't have birth without birth pangs. Now, Madame Blavatsky at some point gets into why it is that the human race must give birth in pain. It may not have necessarily been that way. But I think a collection of poor choices and sins, if you will, led to the painfulness of birth. And now it is with us. And no matter what kind of birth we have, no matter what we are being born into, pain in the majority of cases seems to be the rule. So going on, that which is old and undesirable must go. And of these undesirable things, hatred and the spirit of separativeness, or I guess here it's just separateness, must be the first to disappear. So, friends, out with the old, in with the new, but we do preserve some of the values that have come to us with the old, and the fourth ray helps us make the bridge of preservation so that we can still access the older values which are of use to us even as we prepare to live by a new set of values. Somewhere, is it in the Glamour book, or where exactly is it? He talks about the rays of humanity and the between the Piscean Age and the Age of Aquarius, the personality ray of humanity is changing. The third ray for the age of Pisces, the fifth ray personality for the age of Aquarius, the intuitive mind for Aquarius. It's going to be a fourth ray mind. I think for Pisces, it has been, am I correct, a fifth ray mind? Certainly once the Virgo aspects appeared, and the scientific tendencies of the sign opposite the sign Pisces. We do know that Virgo can be a very material, practical, scientific, analytical sign, carrying, I think, quite a bit from the previous solar system. In our present solar system, it is meant to express the second ray and the sixth ray. Okay, going on with the Tibetan. I hope, you know, I want to say, I hope you're having a chance to ponder this as we go. Quite differently from my early days of recording, I'm not acting as if I were in a 100-meter dash or something. I'm going slowly so that you can take in as much from the Tibetan and some of the things that I may say in a manner which is assimilable. So that's my hope. Master DK goes on, the main objective of our joint work is still group integration and the setting up of that intercommunication between the group members, which will result in the needed interplay and telepathic communication. The group is meant, or should we say group members are meant, to be telepathically interrelated. And as DK has told us, telepathy is a natural thing, unless we get in the way of it. So at the beginning, in the dark stage of the seed group work, the necessary group integration does not yet exist. But DK, in his writing, his advice, his counsel to the individual disciples, does everything he can to promote that integration. So the objective, in a way, is telepathic communication, done with some exactitude later when one knows what one is doing, and the ability to receive, register, what Master DK impresses upon the individuals in the group, and more specifically the group, by telepathic means. And I might say that the soul aspect, the angel of the presence, does its part in telepathic impression. So going on with DK, I guess if we succeed, then he says, this will finally establish that golden network of light which will serve to create a powerful focal point. Now, may I say that every time he talks about a network of light, I do think of the triangles network underlying human affairs with love, goodwill, light, and eventually the will to good. The will to good. So if the integration comes, then, the Tibetan says, this will finally establish that golden network of light which will serve to create a powerful focal point. This focal point will be the agent for the revitalization spiritually of the etheric body of humanity as a whole. So I'm just going to mark that down. Our togetherness, our coherence, our integration, our harmonization will create the necessary focal points, and we will be etherically revitalized, etherically recharged. This, may I add, we would expect during an Aquarian age focused on the etheric body and accompanied by a great seventh ray cycle. That cycle will not last forever, you know, but during the lesser age of Aquarius, at least, the seventh ray cycle will accompany the Aquarian cycle. So the fifth ray, transmitted through Aquarius, and the seventh ray accompanying this lesser Aquarian age will combine to create a most technologically magical period of human civilization. And if we think that we have exhausted any kind of technology up to this point, only the beginning has been shown. So about the etheric body of humanity and its revitalization, DK tells us this is an essential and important statement. This focal point will, in its turn and in the revitalizing of the etheric body of the planet, aid in the revitalizing of the etheric body of the planet with new power and with fresh impulse. No question, then, that the coalescence of the groups is a high priority. And DK looks at each one of us in terms of what we can contribute to that coalescence. Let me just underline it, that group integration. And we are of value or inimical to progress according to what we contribute to that coalescence and to forming that powerful focal point of which he speaks. Now it looks like we are beginning a little bit of a new section here. And we haven't, you know, covered a lot of pages thus far. We are on page 75, and that really means about one page. But we have produced a program which is about little more than an hour in length, and I think because of other things coming up tonight, this would be a good place to stop and then to resume a little bit later. You wonder whether Master DK doesn't get a bit tired repeating the fundamentals so very often. And he talked about the monotony of the work and the repetition of the work. Sometimes he deliberately eschews, casts aside repetition, and says it is not of value to be repeating all the time, and other times he simply does repeat. So this is '74 to '75, and I cannot tell when we will resume. Last night I was able to resume, and it was a program of 3 hours and 20 minutes. That's rather long. And I realize how much study it requires of you and me, really of all of us. And we have to have the attitude and the understanding that we will not be able to absorb everything DK has given, and he has told us so. But we will absorb. I sometimes joke a little and say, well, there's a pill that's made on the second ray. It's called Absorbitol. And that's what the second ray type would like to do. Absorb it all. But we have to be reasonable and understand that even back in Pythagorean days, Master DK was probably way ahead in his development of what we have reached now. So that has given him, in a way of speaking, quite a head start. And we will make the grade, of course. But it won't be immediate, and he is assisting us. Okay, friends. We will go on when we can. We are in stress, we are in strain, we are responsible for our own fate, though indeed we are assisted. Hierarchy does not know the short-term fate of man, but long-term we will triumph. And we have to learn how to work with our groups to make them really significant. And I might add that anything that builds in the real telepathy is all to the good. So Tuya and I wish you love and many blessings, and so does the communications team of BL, Joel, Michael Crow, Michael Stacy, often Rodrigo and Bob Basil, when conference time comes along. Trying to help us all make these books a real target of concentrated study. Not just that the Tibetan has written some good books, we know he has, but to take full advantage of these books. So that our elevation into a true state of accepted discipleship and closer cooperation with the Master may proceed apace. So, love and many blessings to you all, and I'll see what I can do to continue this tonight. Maybe. You never know. You never know. Okay. Bye for now.